Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a little reflection or homily on the Feast of St. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine. The Gospel today is taken from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. And it is the Gospel where Jesus comes to the town of Nain and raises the dead man, the son of his only son of a woman who is also a widow. So I'd like to read this Gospel for you, and then we'll reflect on this in relation to St. Monica. Jesus went into a town called Nain, accompanied by his disciples and a great number of people. When he was near the gate of the town, it happened that a dead man was being carried out for burial, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable number of the townspeople were with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt sorry for her. "Do not cry," he said. Then he went up and put his hand on the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I tell you to get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. Jesus gave him to his mother. Everyone was filled with awe and praised God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has visited his people." And this opinion of him spread throughout Judea and all over the countryside. Gospel of the Lord. This wonderful story, interestingly, only related by St. Luke, only found in St. Luke's Gospel, which commentators have often seen over the centuries as an anticipation of Jesus' mother, Mary, as Jesus is being carried out to burial himself. It's as though Jesus has compassion on this woman in a particular way because he sees his own mother in her, a widow who would be carrying or laying her own son in the tomb. And so he takes pity, has compassion, and he invites the woman not to weep. And the townspeople, "Do not cry," he said. Then he raises the young man. "I tell you, get up." The young man gets up and begins to talk. This is an authentic resurrection. We take this as an authentic resurrection from the dead, but it's not the same kind of resurrection as the Lord Jesus' resurrection, because Jesus would be raised again, raised never to die again. This young man was raised from the dead, but he would die, and he will rise again. So this, however, is an authentic resurrection. Everyone is filled with awe and they praise God. And in this passage, the moment when St. Luke tells us that Jesus gives him to his mother, I think this is a very evocative and powerful phrase, sentence. Jesus gave him to his mother. The great famous statue, the Pietà in Rome, is a moment captured in marble, in sculpture, where Christ is given to his mother. The dead Jesus is given to his mother, and she holds her dead son in her arms after the crucifixion. But he would rise again. This moment is also a link between the story of St. Monica and the Gospel today, because in the feast today, the Church provides during the Office of Readings a passage related by St. Augustine from his Confessions concerning the death of his mother, and shows that the Lord, in her experience, gave her son, Augustine, back to her. The Lord gave her to his mother. The Lord gave him to his mother. And what is meant by that is that he was lost, in a sense, during his youth and early adulthood, not baptized, not believing, living a licentious life and caught up in various worldly philosophies, including as a disciple of Manichae and Manichaeism. He was a great orator, but he was lost in his thoughts and in his actions. And after his conversion to Christianity, Monica praised God and was so overjoyed, even though she's dying in this passage that I'm about to read to you. She is overjoyed because she has received, she says, her son back to her. She only wanted to live long enough to see her son become a Catholic Christian, she says. It's an interesting expression. So So in that sense, the son is given back to the mother through conversion. He's raised from the dead, but the dead, the dimension of death that he's raised from is a spiritual death, and not a physical death. Even whilst this passage is about the death of his mother, so let me read this passage to you from the Confessions of Saint Augustine, and the emphasis here is on eternal wisdom. Because the day when she was to leave this life was drawing near, a day known to you, that is, St. Augustine's writing, addressing this to God, as it were, though we were ignorant of it, she and I happened to be alone, though, as I believe, the the mysterious workings of your will. We stood leaning against a window, which looked out on a garden within the house where they were staying, at Ostia, on the Tiber. For there, far from the crowds, we were recruiting our strength after a long journey in order to prepare ourselves for our voyage overseas. So just a bit of commentary here. They're at Ostia on the Tiber. I've been to this place. This is about an hour and a half cycling from Rome to the coast, to the Mediterranean Sea. And it's called Ostia on Tiber. And it's the ancient Ostia, and this would have been where the ships would have departed from to take people from North Africa back to Rome. And because Augustine and Monica were from, and his brother is here too at this point, are from North Africa, from Tagaste in Africa, they're going back there because they know the mother's not well, and there's some hope here in the family that she would die on her native soil. That's not what happens, as we'll see. So they're here recruiting their strength after the journey to get to this point. We were alone, he says, conferring very intimately. Forgetting what lay in the past and stretching out to what was ahead, we inquired between ourselves in the light of present truth into what you are and what the eternal life of the saints would be like. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceived it. So this is a holy conversation. It's a conversation about heaven. They've spent these days of rest, as it were, in retreat, really, commenting and sharing thoughts on heaven, turning their minds and hearts to things eternal. So the theme of this reading is really the gaining of eternal wisdom, that this is the kind of holy conversation which we should have. It's very easy to get caught up with concerns, anxieties, and fears about the chaos that Satan creates in this world and the realities of this world. There's a never-ending worldly conversation to be had. But in our times especially, these holy conversations about eternity is what we should be having. We should be focusing on the realities of eternal life, and this is indeed wisdom, the gaining of eternal wisdom. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived of what is laid in store for us in heaven. And yet, with the mouth of our hearts wide open, we panted thirstily for the celestial streams of your fountain, the fount of life which is with you. This was the substance of our talk, though not the exact words. Yet you know, O Lord, how on that very day, amid this talk of ours that seemed to make the world, with all its charms, grow cheap, she said, "For my part, my son, I no longer find pleasure in anything in this that this life holds. What I am doing here still, or why I am still here, I do not know, for worldly hope has withered away from me." So she no longer has hope for anything in this world. She's really focused now on eternity and on the eternal life. This is it's really here we see at the end of life, which is not far from being a disastrous thing or a sad thing. What's happening here at the end of life is she's fully reached maturity, where she's letting go of anxieties, fears, concerns about this world and this life, and she's entirely focused on the eternal life which is to come. This is the ultimate moment of wisdom. It's the ultimate moment of surrender and letting go. This is peace. It's authentic peace. The peace for which we all long and which we can have even in this world. One thing only there was for which I desired to linger in this life, she says, to see you become a Catholic Christian before I died. And she's referring here to Augustine's conversion. Augustine at this point has been converted. He's been ordained, I presume. And so I presume this takes place not too long after the conversion of Augustine. He was ordained a priest within 12 months. In fact, I think he was ordained a priest immediately after he was baptized, which is unusual. And then, if I am not completely forgetting the history, he may have been ordained a bishop only 12 months after that, which probably speaks of the need of the time. I'm not looking that up right now, it's just speaking from memory. But what I want to share here more importantly is the... I think what's interesting is the expression that Monica uses. To see you a Catholic Christian before I died is her hope. And now she's at peace. The word Catholic here is interesting because the first time this word is used, it is used by St. Irenaeus. Ignatius of Antioch, who died in the year 110 AD. And he uses it as a descriptor of Christianity, of the church, spread throughout the known world, or called throughout the known world, sent by the Holy Spirit throughout the whole world, this universality of the gospel, the fact that it is for everyone, is described by Ignatius of Antioch as being Catholic. That's what the word Catholic means. It's not a club or a particular group originally. It is simply a descriptor of the one body of Christ called throughout the whole world. I think it's really important to come back to that and reflect on what that means. So she describes him interestingly as a Catholic Christian. So it could be that already by the 4th century, where here somewhere around 386 AD or 87, somewhere in that time frame, and already there are Christians which have argued various points, and they've already have divided themselves into philosophical preferences even as early as this time. And so she may be referring to Catholic Christianity in the sense of that which is middle Christianity, without some of those divisions. Can't be 100% sure, but it's interesting she uses that expression. My God, she says, has granted this to me more lavishly than I could have hoped, letting me see even you spurning earthly happiness to be his servant. What am I still doing here? What I replied, Augustine says, I cannot clearly remember, because just about that time, 5 days later, or not much before, she took to her bed with fever. One day during her illness, she lapsed into unconsciousness and for a short time was unaware of her surroundings. We all came running, and she quickly returned to her senses. And gazing at me and my brother as we stood there, she asked in puzzlement, where was I? We were all bewildered with grief, but she looked keenly at us and said, you are to bury your mother here. I was silent, holding back my tears, but my brother, we get to mention here, said something about his hope that she would not die far from home, but in her own country, for that would be a happier way. On hearing this, she looked anxious, and her eyes rebuked him for thinking so, and she turned her gaze from him to me and said, what silly talk. Shortly afterwards, addressing us both, she said, lay this body anywhere and take no trouble over it. The only thing I ask of you, that you remember me at the altar of the Lord, wherever you may be. In other words, that she be remembered in the Eucharist, in the celebration of the Eucharist. Having made her meaning clear to us with such words as she could muster, she fell silent, and the pain of the disease grew worse. The passage ends there, but the passing of Monica into eternal life is a blessed, a very holy moment. Of course, there's a sense of loss, a deep sense of loss for Augustine and his brother, but the lesson of the passing of Saint Monica is the learning of eternal wisdom, that she focuses so clearly on the realities of eternal life and on heaven, and is free of the anxieties of this life. And that's the way we all need to be. We're all called to be free from anxiety and distress, not to get caught up in the chaos and anxiety of the world, but to focus our hearts on eternal life. God bless you all. Hope that's been helpful to you. Let us all learn from the story of St. Monica, and every blessing in the Holy Spirit for the day.